I just love, my friend has been listening to the record. She's a little girl who I think just turned 3. And she was walking with Cleo. The sun was shining. And they walked past this yard, that was this field that was really green. And the little girl said, "Mom, that grass is singing." Like the sun was shining on the grass and it was really beautiful, kind of wet from the morning dew. And she was like, "Mom, that grass is singing over there." And I was just like,
you're listening to the In This Together podcast with Dr. Josh and Christy Straub, a podcast dedicated to helping you live, love, and lead well as a spouse, a parent, and a human being.
Because no matter where you're at on your journey, you're not alone. We're in this together. Welcome back to the In This Together podcast. We have a super exciting interview for you today with Ellie Holcomb. She's a singer and songwriter. And she also is now a children's book author because she wrote a book called Who Sang the First Song? And it came out of a question that her daughter, 5-year-old daughter, Emmy Lou, asked her of who sang the first song. And she tells that story in this interview. And it's a sweet story. But the thing that I love most about this conversation that we had is we talk about singing and the rhythms of life. But how song and singing, and especially for our kids, the power that that has, and really, who did sing the first song? She tells that story, and it's just a sweet story, and there's so much practical application that comes out of it as it relates to implementing into our home the rhythms of life. And so it's an incredible interview, and unfortunately, Christy wasn't here.
Yeah, I missed this one. I didn't get to talk to Ellie because I was away at a therapeutic retreat week, and I'll talk about that another time. But so I didn't get to talk to her for this one, but we love Ellie and Sing, and that album that actually goes along with the book. Literally, we just listened to it this morning. It's become our kind of go-to over breakfast as a family, because it's not that horrible kids music that you can't you just want to turn off so
the
badly.
Wheels on the bus
stop,
go round,
stop.
And round, round and round,
stop.
Round and round.
It's actually, if you know Ellie and you know like her album Red Sea Road or any of her previous ones, it's her similar sound, but it's right, it's aimed at kids, and it's beautiful and they're fun, and just I love it. I listen to it. And I love that I can do it with the kids around. So I'm sad I didn't get to talk to her this time, but I really know you're going to love this interview with Josh and Ellie Holcomb.
Welcome to the podcast, Ellie Holcomb.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And obviously, just we introduced you here, and you really need no introduction because I think most of our listeners listen to you, follow you. And for those who don't, I would love for you to just begin by introducing your family. I feel like you are our listeners. I mean, you, in terms of the season of life you're in, if you could introduce your family. In fact, would it be okay to describe what just happened before the podcast in your home?
Yes. Yeah, we were going to start, but I was running a little late because my toddler, Huck, he's my 3-year-old. He just pooped in the potty for the first time.
That's helping to celebrate.
So it feels like a victory, honestly. Like, so it was, anyway, it's just good. So we are in that stage of life.
Well,
where we are celebrating bowel movements, you know?
And we're our 6-year-old, we're in the stage of life where we're having to moderate how much we talk about bowel movements and whether or not they're funny or not. So,
That is awesome.
That good season. Yeah, we're it's the realness.
There's a time
right?
and a season. There's a time and a season for everything. There's a season to really talk it up, and that's where we are with him. Awesome.
So Ellie's on the podcast today. She is in the same season of life as a lot of you listening, and we are so excited. We have so what we're going to talk about today is Ellie. Most of you know her for singing and her songs but recently she just put out a children's book, and along with it, an album, an EP, that we have been playing in our house pretty much incessantly, called Sing Creation Songs, and our children love it. We love it. Let's be honest. And,
yes.
And so can you introduce your family to us who's under your roof, who you manage under your roof there. And then if you could just tell us the story of how the book came about, because I just think it's such a beautiful story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So my husband Drew and I have been married for we're coming up on 13 years this summer. And we've got three kids now. Sorry, the third one's fresh. We have a six-year-old. I'm like, two kids plus another one. We have a six-year-old girl who's Emmy Lou. Then we have our three-year-old Huck. And then a little baby, Rivers, who just hit 4 months. So our house is full and busy, and I loved that I got to write a kid's book because it's so the season of life that I'm in. You know, sitting at night, reading at night with my kids is like one of my favorite things to do. So I wrote this children's book called Who Sang the First Song, because Emmy Lou, about a year ago, just in passing in the kitchen, y'all know it's like questions all the time, questions that lead to more questions. And so in passing, she was like, "Hey mom, who sang the first song?" And I, sometimes my kids ask questions and I'm like, they stop me in my tracks. I'm like, man, that is a great question. And I also don't necessarily have an answer off the bat. And so I was like, I mean, Lou, I did what, you know, good parents do when you don't really know the answer. You just turn the question back on your kid. And you're like, well, that is a great question. What do you think? And she goes, Dolly Parton.
That's a great answer. Oh, I love it.
Like, I love you. You are a Tennessee girl through and through. But also, I might need to do some research and write a book on this. So I call it like a treasure hunt. It felt like picking up breadcrumbs, reading different things about, and discovering different things about, you know, maybe when the first song was recorded. And I stumbled upon this Tim Keller sermon on Genesis chapter 1. And he really explores, and this is what the book does too, not so much like how God made the earth. I think we kind of grow up, you know, learning that story, like how he, you know, created, how he made the earth come into existence. But Tim really kind of poses the question, why? Why did he make the earth? And I just love that. Like, he didn't have to make it, but why? Why would he do that? And when he was back in the Hebrew, he discovered that basically Genesis chapter 1 is written in the form of an archaic Hebrew poem. And so he said it is literally as if when God spoke the world into existence, there was a rhythm and a cadence to it. It was almost as if he sang the world into being. And why would he do that? Because he made all of the earth and every single one of us to sing the song of his love and his faithfulness and his goodness.
Man, like, Keller just like smacks you, doesn't he?
Oh, he crushes it. He does. And then he moves on and says, but we all know, he said, what is song God's song? And you know, the creation story. And there was morning and there was evening, and God said it was
good.
Good. And so God's song that he sings over us in the beginning is that we're good. But then Tim, I call him Tim because I feel like we're friends. He goes on to say, he's like, but we all know that we're not good. We know that we're broken. We make a mess of things. Our hearts forget and they run away. We make mistakes. And he says, we know we're not good. So where else do we see the words in the beginning? And he's like, fast forward to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And so it is through the living Word, Jesus Christ, that we can be restored to sing the song that we were intended to sing, that we are good, that God loves us, that he's never going to leave us. And so, man, I just thought, if there's anything I want my own forgetful heart to know and my precious kids to know, is that they were made lovingly by a loving father who calls them good and who came to rescue them and who will never stop loving them.
Oh, man. Good gracious. I just, you know, have you ever seen the movie August Rush, I think it's called?
Yes.
Where it's like this kid just hears every rhythm in like everything, you know, whether it's the wind blowing or whatever, that when you talked about God singing the earth into creation, that's what I thought of. It's like God's like, I have this rhythm in my head. Do you know what I mean? Like where you just hear things and you just, you pay attention to sounds and rhythm and like, oh, it's just beautiful.
I love it. That is it. And honestly, for me, so much of how I am reminded of God's faithfulness is when I look outside in creation. And so I just love that there's so much that he writes into. I mean, right now I'm looking out my window. There's the trees look dead. I mean, all the leaves are gone. They literally look dead. And we know that in the spring, like they're going to come to life again. So like the story of resurrection and new life coming, even when things seem like beyond repair is we see it outside every day. And so I just love, my friend has been listening to the record. She's a little girl who I think just turned 3. And she was walking with Cleo. The sun was shining. And they walked past this yard that was this field that was really green. And the little girl said, Mom, that grass is singing. Like the sun was shining on the grass and it was really beautiful, kind of wet from the morning dew. And she was like, Mom, that grass is singing over there. And I was just like,
oh my goodness. Yes. Hey, I love it. Yes. And what's so fascinating about it is our children. So one of the things that we have done is, and for those of you listening, who listen on a regular basis, you've heard what we have done. But Ellie, you and I were talking about this even prior. One of the biggest things that we do for our family is experience. So one of our family values is adventure. And so you'll find that we end up spending money on adventures and memories and those types of things rather than things. And so we have a stage in our dining room because our dining room, I mean, so often you have a dining room and in this season of life, it's like, why do you have we hardly ever use it, right? And so we're like, why don't we use this dining room?
You don't do formal dinners.
Yeah, it's like with kids dropping food all over the place and, you know, yogurt spackled everywhere. And so it's like, so we ended up, a friend challenged me to make our dining room the most lively place in the house. And so our kids just love to sing. They love karaoke. And so we have some lights and we have a makeshift stage that we now have in our dining room that is creating so many incredible memories because kids don't, they just don't care about how they sound. They just want to shout joyfully. And it is just amazing. And I don't know where we lose that as adults, you know? I think it's just important that we do that. And so thank you for showing us and helping us because we've been with the album and everything, we've been doing this with our kids as well and helping them to learn that everything has a rhythm, even the rhythms of life and how we do life, that we're not running frantically, allowing culture to influence who we are, but that our values, we're influencing other people and we're the ones influencing the culture by the rhythm of our home. And so you're doing
that. I love that. I think that too with kids, God tells us to be like kids, you know? And so it's like, how can we get back to that kind of wild, joyful abandon that they just possess naturally? Like they're not looking over their shoulder at what the other person's doing necessarily. They're just emitting sound, joy, laughter. And I mean, I know that they cry too. It's not that, but man, I think sometimes there's no like junior Holy Spirit. And so I love the idea that you'd like instill within your kids, like, hey, God made you for a reason, for a purpose. And it's to sing about his love and his goodness to yourself and to the weary world around you. And you can sing with your voice, but you can also sing with your life, like with your choices and your actions and using the gifts that God's given you. And so I just love that idea of saying, like, how can we carry the love that God has to our neighbors around us? I love that y'all are intentional about doing it because it's easy to get caught up in the grind, you know, and to forget that we get this privilege.
Oh, it's so easy. And I think to your point about the crying, I think it's important. I'd love for you to speak to this as well because, I mean, there are so many songs that are about sadness and grief. And I think, you know, that's part of how God created us as well. Last night I was tucking our son in, our 6-year-old son, and he's had this teddy bear. I posted about it actually because I was grieving last night because I've been hanging out with him. Christy's been out of town, and so I've been getting some really good quality one-on-one time with the kids where we're not running frantic and I'm, you know, really being intentional. And we're crawling in. There were certain moments throughout the week where I realized he started asking, I realized that he was forgetting things that we would do when he was like 2, 3, and 4, because he's 6 now. Just special moments of like the way we were playing Thomas the Train Engine, or he started asking questions about his teddy bear. His teddy bear, Muffins, he got since he was like a baby, like the very first day he was born. But he's forgetting. You can tell he's starting to move on. Do you know what I mean? Like he still sleeps with him and stuff.
Yeah.
But my heart just sank, and so I'm kind of grieving this, like these moments. And I think, you know, when our kids say, you know, one of the things that we're huge on is feelings and emotional awareness and emotional intelligence and having our kids be able to verbalize feelings. And so I think we lose that as adults too. And so even just helping our kids as we talk about rhythm, I'd love for you to speak to that. Like even helping our kids just understand, because I think a lot of times as parents, we want to jump on our kids when they're in tears as if they're being disobedient. And the reality is they're just like, yeah, they're just like, they were born into the world not knowing emotions. I mean, how many of us as adults can understand our negative emotions? And so it's just navigating and allowing them to feel, but giving them words and giving them ways to express even those negative emotions.
Oh man, it is so important. I think as a parent, what you want for your kids is like you don't want them to hurt or suffer or ever be sad. I remember when I had Emmylou, I was watching The Wonder Years. Oh. Like it was, you know, I was like at home a lot and I watched The Wonder Years and just watching him go through that middle angst and hurt and rejection, and I was just like, oh my goodness, you're gonna experience all of that, and I don't want you to hurt. You just don't want, like, you want to protect them from all that. And in the same breath, I know that that I probably know Jesus more, not in spite of the hard things that have happened, but because of them, because he is a man of sorrows. He's with us through all of that. And so I have to fight that thing of like, I want you to behave perfectly. I never want you to be sad. Stop tears. And knowing, like, actually, there's lament all through the Bible, all through the Psalms. Like, this is a part of being human, and it's a part. It's who Jesus was, too. He wept, too. And so this idea of learning how, like you said, I love y'all have interviewed David Thomas and Sissy Goff, yeah. That kind of this emotional intelligence of them learning how to navigate sadness or anger or jealousy or whatever it is that they're feeling, of not just shutting that down, but learning how to have a conversation about it and learning how to handle that in a way that's productive and not destructive, if that makes any sense. And so part of that for me looks like being willing to be sad in front of my kids sometimes. Like, if I'm having a hard day or if I'm having one of those days where I'm in like a shame storm, I try, instead of just like hiding that from my kids, I try to let them into that a little bit. Like, if I'm sad, I try to say, Mommy's sad today, and you know what? It's okay. And guess who's here right with me in the sadness? Jesus. God's right here with me in the sadness. And it won't always be this way, but this is okay too. So anyway, we also love the Inside Out movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which helps with that.
Well, you know, it's so incredible because we, it's just so easy as adults to feel like, you know, this week, you know, our daughter, she tends to come over in the middle of the night because she's had a bad dream, right? And I can tell it wasn't a bad dream because she's not in tears. I know when it's a bad dream because she's in tears, and I know when it's a way to just get dad to come lay with her. You know what I mean? And so it's so easy when you're just waking up to go, you know what, just go lay back in bed. You know, just go do it. Like, and get angry because you're asleep. And I guess I'm just realizing, like, and just learning. I saw Bob Goff post on Instagram a while back, and I thought it was such a great statement that just sums up this idea of being present with our kids. Be the adult you needed when you were a kid.
Oh, love that.
And I thought, wow, what do my kids need right now? You know? And so, yeah, it's just so powerful. But you have planted this idea of rhythm in my head, and man, I was a percussionist growing up. I can't sing to save my life. I do it, even though it just is, you know, nails on a chalkboard to Christy. But I was a percussionist, so I got the rhythm part down. So I do enjoy rhythm.
I love that.
Did you know that a child's ability to put words to what she is feeling is linked to both success and faith later in life?
That's because the more self-aware we become about what we're feeling, the better able we are to manage our behavior and make good decisions.
That's why we wrote What Am I Feeling? A new children's book that brings parents and children together to talk about emotions.
It's show and tell day at school, and Sam and his friends are feeling lots of emotions.
After several unchecked feelings threaten to ruin the big day, Sam and his friends start to learn how to give each emotion a name and ask God to help them remember that a feeling is just a feeling. It's not in charge of you.
In a world where kids are dealing with everything from sibling rivalry to bullying, divorce to tragedy, What Am I Feeling offers a biblically grounded way for kids to manage big feelings in a little body and develop empathy for others.
Check the show notes today to order What Am I Feeling, releasing March 1st.
We're talking with Ellie Holcomb here. She wrote the book, her first children's book called Who Sang the First Song? And we also want to really encourage you to download Sing Creation Songs, a children's EP that she put together as well, because this is the season of life she's in. And if you don't mind, I want to ask you some kind of life balance questions for a minute, because, you know, sure. You're a singer, you know, your husband Drew, you guys, how are you balancing? You're in the trenches, you got three under six, six and under. How are you balancing your career and your work and then also just being present as a mom? Can you give us some, and I know I'm throwing you a curveball here probably, but can you just give us some just some practical, what's that? Cause there's a lot of folks listening who are in those season, in that season. And I think it's just important for us to kind of learn from one another, you know, kind of what that looks like.
What that looks like. Yeah. Well, I love this question, because it just, thanks for even asking it. It assumes some intentionality on our part, which is what we have to be if we want to do all of those things. And I'll say, mainly, I feel like we are always shifting, like in terms of balancing. I feel like mainly a lot of times it's like we realize, oh man, things are off balance, or oh man, I just dropped the ball in work or with my kids or whatever. And so I think I had a sweet friend who spoke to me, I think the important thing, yes, we all need boundaries, but the really important thing is when you cross a boundary, when you realize you're overextended or it's too much, that it's your reaction and how you respond to that is actually what really, really matters. Because we're always going to be, you know, we're just always doing our best to balance everything. And so we are always saying, okay, holding everything with open hands and saying, okay, this was too much. Okay, so we need to say more no's for work or for whatever, or to even hang out with friends, because we're working a lot right now. So we got to hone in on and focus in on our kids when we are in town. And so I feel like I sometimes when that question gets asked, oh, we do it perfectly. And it's like, oh, actually, no, we didn't do this perfectly. We make a lot of mistakes, and we really try to learn from those and not do that, those same mistakes again, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that has been so helpful is, to know, our marching orders for our family, to try to get those from the Lord. I think so often I look to the left or the right, or I scroll through Instagram and I'm like, oh gosh, I should be doing what that family is doing. And it's like, man, even the other families that we know here in Nashville who do music, it may look different for their family than it does for ours. And so I think for me to have this sense of surrender and a willingness to ask the Lord, how do you want us to structure our time as a family? How do you want us to work in a rhythm of Sabbath when we're gone on the weekends all the time? And so that has been such a beautiful thing. So I'm not looking to the right or the left. We're looking to the Lord and then like marching forward from there. And that way we're like, okay, what he is calling us to ultimately, even if there's hard things to that, this is what he's called our family to. And so that has brought a lot of peace for me because we live sort of a non-traditional life. And so it's been a really sweet thing, to kind of bring a schedule before him and let him kind of help direct and guide that. So
I love that.
And we also do, yeah, it's really good. And then Drew and I also do like a State of the Union trip every year. And when I say trip, it can be like this year we went to a hotel downtown in Nashville. We live in Nashville, so yep. We don't have to go far. But we take a couple days in January, sort of after the craziness of Christmas, and kind of look back at the year before and then look forward and kind of look at what worked the year before and what we'd like to shift and kind of tweak so we can keep the priorities straight, that our family comes first and then our jobs and everything else flows from there. So
I love that. And the Instagram effect is real. I mean, there's times where I've had to, Christy shuts it down every now and again. She'll just completely delete it from her phone just for her own sake and her own sanity. And for some reason, I don't right. know why, but I feel like it does affect women more than it does men, in terms of the comparison trap and that type of thing. But it affects me just the same as it relates to like what other people are doing. And that's why we champion setting family values. And just like kind of like your State of the Union, you know, one of the things that we really yeah. champion is having families set family values and coaching families to do that. So that, because one of the things that we found actually is that we surveyed over 700 parents and asked them their greatest parenting struggle today. And the greatest struggle right. was we're too busy and there's not enough time. And I think, you know,
wow.
at the end of the day, we all have the same amount of time. It's just choosing how are we using it?
How are we spending it? Yep.
So, you know, we don't have to always be doing, if we don't know what God is calling our family to and the purpose he has for our family, for our team, we're going to ebb and flow with culture and it's just going to, we're going to get lost. And so I
yep.
love
yep.
even you bringing that out and stating that even you, Ellie Holcomb, who is a very successful, singer, songwriter, musician, like yet you struggle with the same things, you know, that everybody else does.
Oh, of course.
And so, you know, it's just, it's just good for you to hear, yeah, to hear that. So.
Oh man. Yes. It's part of being human. Like, oh yep. man, Lord, help me. And I love that it is that you tell people that you and your wife are calling people to, okay, what do we actually want for our kids? Like, what's the end game here? Like, yeah. where are we going? Because if we're not intentional about getting there, I think sometimes we get caught up. My father-in-law does this thing. He speaks at, you know, I don't know, church gatherings. And right before Emily was born, I was listening to him speak to a group of fathers here at a school in Nashville. And he said, okay, raise your hands, and I want you to fill out things that you want to see in, like, if you have a daughter, what do you want to see in her husband? What qualities do you want to see in her husband? You know, so people start raising their hands. They're like, you know, kindness, patience, love the Lord, hardworking, you know, just like the things that you would want for your daughter, tender, sensitive. Okay. So then, okay, now if you have a son, same thing, what do you want in the woman that's going to marry your son? And faithfulness, creativity, you know, like hardworking, faithful, faith, that she's kind and loving. He goes, okay, how much time do we spend working on that? He said, I think we get into this game where it's like, he said, not one of you mentioned the captain of the football team. Not one of you mentioned like GPA.
Yeah.
Not one of you mentioned like, so he said, we spend a lot of time on things that really maybe aren't the end game. And so how can we kind of hone in on, you know, the things that matter? And so
becoming,
I love that you're
people.
Calling people to do that. Yeah.
I just literally wrote an article yesterday that it talked about that. I think parenting, Christy hates the word parenting. She thinks it's, yeah, she just doesn't like it. And there's a very number of reasons I don't think she likes it. But, you know, I was writing this article and I was just kind of saying, okay, Lord, just write this through me. And what I think I realized, I put why parenting is the wrong term. And this is kind of really a conversation we could have is, we could actually probably do a whole podcast episode on this, but why parenting is the wrong term. And I talked about it and I set it all up, but the word, the right word would be becoming. That really raising great kids is all about becoming, not parenting. Because when you look at the parenting research, you can pretty much sum up all of parenting research into one primary conclusion, and that is that our kids become who we are as parents. And so how are we doing as it relates to our own emotional awareness, our own spiritual growth and development, our own, you know, pursuing the rhythms of life? And you know, as we were talking, I was thinking about just even stay-at-home moms or the people listening right now who just are suffering. They feel like they're in the trenches. They feel lost. I was thinking of even just Christy, when our kids were super young and just babies, and just the losing her identity, or even women struggling with postpartum depression and just that sense of, you know, how do I get out of this? How do I live the way that these guys are talking about? I think even as we were talking earlier, there are seasons, and yeah, your season right now might be just really, really hard. It might be a really hard season, but these are the seasons of lament. You know, there's a reason that Lamentations is a book of the Bible. There's a reason that David, you know, when you read through the book of Psalms, that he's just like crying out to God in his most heartbroken moments. These are the seasons, but we can't miss, as you said, that God is in those moments, that he is writing a story, your story, even in the midst of those moments. And I know even for you, we're going to put everything in the show notes for all of you guys listening, everything that Ellie has. But I know even like the Red Sea Road for you, there's a journey there, you know, and just finding God in the midst of the hard times, right? Like, because it's all part of our individual stories, you know?
It is. And he's a really good story writer. And I think that really, if you're in that season of suffering or sorrow, just feeling like you're drowning, for me, it looks like I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot do anything well. Like I'm dropping the ball on all the things. There are days and moments that I've had this past month of feeling like that. I'm like, oh gosh, it's a new year. I feel like I need a better plan than I have in place right now. And I think to know that you are not alone. Like if you are suffering or experiencing sorrow, that is something that every single human on the planet Earth knows about. And thank God, God himself knows about it too. And he's been there before, and he's walked through it, and he's walked out of it. He walked out of a grave. And so he has been where you are, and he's with you now. And I say Elizabeth Elliot, who says God's stories never end in ashes. Ooh. And so if that's where you are, I just want to say you are not alone, and this isn't the end of the story. And we were talking about rhythms earlier. There's a time and a season for everything. And so, and then when you're in those really hard times to try to know, I just hope you know that you're not alone.
Yes.
We're not alone.
And he's writing your story. So set those values, set those, you know, find where he's at. And he's not going to tell you maybe right away, but you'll see it begin to unfold. But like for all of us, as you get the children's book, we really, really want you to check out Who Sang the First Song, and then download the Sing Creation Songs from Ellie Holcomb, and just play them in the background in your house. That's what we do. We just have them constantly playing. They're playing at breakfast. They're playing at those four key times of the day that we talk about. But, you know, as we are talking about this, we as parents, our kids are watching our rhythms. And as we teach our kids about who wrote the first song, that God created those rhythms, and as Ellie beautifully went and researched and studied this and put this into a children's book and created these songs with a scriptural basis, for all of us as parents to have this rhythm, to have a way in which our kids are watching us become, our kids are watching us live the rhythm of life in the ups and the downs and the suffering and the pain, but seeing the joy that comes out of that when we press into him. And so I just think, thank you for teaching us this and showing us this and giving us a tool to be able to sit with our kids in, and also to be able to understand and grasp as human beings, so that our kids can learn from that as we model it. I just think it's beautiful.
I love it. Well, thanks so much for having me. It was a joy to be here today.
Absolutely, Ellie. Thank you so much for being on. Check out InThisTogetherPodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us and help others learn about the podcast. You can also find us on Instagram or Facebook. And for coaching and speaking inquiries, visit our website at drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and live in the moment.